The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 26. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on January 13th, 2013, in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Yato yato nishchalati, manaschanchanam astaram, tatastato niyam yaitad, atman yeva visham nayet, yato yato nishchalati. Manaschanchanam astaram, tatastato niyam yaitad, atman yeva visham nayet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai, Prabhupada. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Purport. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady, but a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. One who controls the mind and therefore the senses as well is called Goswami or Swami, and one who is controlled by the mind is called Godas or the servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesha, or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Barakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vidamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadesha Tarine.
So, Prabhupada is very wonderfully stated here. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In other words, becoming Krishna conscious does not mean giving up sense happiness. The Mayavadi conception is, if you want to be a transcendentalist, you must give up sense happiness. The senses are false. That is the Mayavadi philosophy. deny your senses. But the fact is, the senses want engagement. If you do not engage your senses in Krishna consciousness, beginning with the tongue, jiva dho, by chanting and honoring prasad, if you do not engage your senses in the service of Rishikesha, the master of the senses, then you will engage them in sense gratification. You cannot make the senses inactive. That's not possible. The Mayavadi says, well, I will just take up inaction. I won't act. I'll become inactive. I will just sit and meditate. But what is he doing in his meditation? He's breathing. And what is he doing when he's breathing? He's doing mass annihilation of so many microbial germs. He's a mass killer. Every time he inhales, he's doing a mass killing of so many living entities. You see? Therefore, Krishna says, one who sees action in inaction, in his so-called inaction, actually he's very active. He cannot stop acting, even though he has taken up inaction, he is still active. You understand? And then the other side that Krishna says, and one who sees inaction in action. This is the wise man who can see these two things. That means the devotee. He's acting like anything. Arjuna, who could be more active than Arjuna on the battlefield killing so many enemy soldiers, yet he was completely inactive. Because there was no karma. You see, it's akarma. Bhakti is akarma. Bhakti is actual inaction. You don't create any karma when you engage purely in bhakti. Any activity outside of bhakti, you're creating karma. Therefore, we encourage you all to take up devotional service purely, because to whatever degree you don't engage in devotional service and you engage in material activities, you are creating karma which will bind you to this material existence. Do you like birth, death, old age, and disease? Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Do you enjoy getting old? Getting sick? How about death? Who likes to die right now? Step over here. We have an execution chamber in the back. You ready? I have a guillotine in the back closet. Stick your head. You ready to stick your head in a guillotine? You see, we don't want death. So if you engage in karmic activities, you are obliging yourself to remain caught up in karma chakra. That's a fact. If you want out of karma chakra, then you need to clean up your karma. You really do. You got to clean up your karma. Turn all of your karma into akarma. Don't continue acting for sense enjoyment. Doing so is simply suicide. If you continue to act for your own material sense enjoyment, you are committing suicide. I hate to be so heavy, you know. I could just sit here and crack some jokes, but I wouldn't be doing you a service if I did that. I might have you all laughing, smiling, but I would actually be doing you a disservice if I just sat up here and cracked jokes and made you laugh. I'm not a comedian. I'm a servant of mine, I'm a message bearer of I'm a messenger from Srila Prabhupada. And it's my duty to give to you the same knowledge he has given to me in such a way that you'll be attracted to hear it and inspired to follow it. So I'm hoping by Prabhupada's mercy that these words will penetrate deep into your heart. And you will take very seriously the giving up the activities of a godas, a servant of senses. And you become very, very serious to become an actual Goswami. This is my, I'm begging Prabhupada right now, I'm praying to him. Please, Srila Prabhupada, bless me that these words I speak to these people here at ISKCON Brampton will inspire every one of them to become fully absorbed in Goswami consciousness. I'm praying to Prabhupada right now that these words will go deep into everybody's heart and inspire you all to become Goswamis. Because that's what will truly make you happy. You may say, but I'm not ready for it yet. Why are you prolonging your misery? That's my question. Why would you want to prolong your misery when you can enter into transcendental bliss right now? Is it? Is there any reason to prolong misery? But I love my misery. It's my comfort zone. I'm used to being suffering in this way, and if I had to give up this suffering, I would feel insecure. We get used to our suffering condition and thinking it's normal, it's okay, and it's like the worm, you know. He was living happily in the stool, and somebody felt sorry for the poor worm, so they pulled him out of the stool. Let me give him a nicer home. He went crawling back to the stool. Home sweet home, you see. So the fact is, we are attached to those things which are causing us suffering. That's it. And what is the number one attachment? The body. And those things related to the body, the kids, the relatives, isn't it? The Bhagavatam warns us about this mentality. Yashatma buddhi kunape tritaduke svadhi kalatradi shubham ijadi yatirta buddhi salile nakarachij. Jane shivadesha sa eva gokaraha. One who considers this bodily bag made of three elements. What are those three elements? Mucus, bile, and air, according to our Vedic science. Three elements. One who considers this bodily bag made of three elements, mucus, bile, and air, to be his actual self, who considers the place of his birth to be a holy place of pilgrimage because he was born there, you know, the place where you rode your tricycle around the block when you're a little kid. It's a holy place because that's where I grew up. Or one who considers his family to be those persons related with his material body instead of considering all living entities to be his family. Understand the difference? And the one who goes to the temple or a holy place of pilgrimage simply to take bath or to have darshan but doesn't hear from the sages and didn't learn any lessons from the sages, they are compared by Bhagavatam to be a cow or an ass. So there's nothing wrong with being attached to your family. But you have to understand, who is your family? If you think your family is only those people related with your body, you are in the bodily conception, sir. You're in the bodily conception, ma'am. Your family is all living entities. The roach is your brother. So you don't step on him. You very carefully pick him up and throw him out the door. You see what I'm saying? All living entities are our family members. So if we have to, we don't say give up family affection, we say expand it. You maintain your family affection. That's all right. If I love my wife, I will make her Krishna conscious. If I love my husband, I will make him Krishna conscious. If I love my kids, I will make them Krishna conscious. That is family affection. Be very affectionate to your family members. Make them pure devotees. That's family affection. At the same time, understand what is your actual family. All living entities. Therefore, we distribute Prabhupada's books. We go on Harinam. We invite everyone to come and find out about Krishna, you see. Because we love our family members. We want all of our family members to be happy. All the Canadians and the Americans and the Britishers and the French and the Germans and the Russians and the Chinese, etc., etc., etc. They're our family members. So we have, I'm on a very tight schedule today because I am doing an initiation down in, everyone's invited at 4:30. Yeah.
4 o'clock.
We have preparations we have to do to get ready for the initiation, so I have to make it really short today. I like to give long classes, but I'm on a very tight schedule. So I'm not going to ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
In the same chapter, I believe it's chapter 6, verse 47 or 42, I'm not sure. But in one point, Lord Krishna says that, in my opinion.
Right.
And that, if I, from material perspective, I think, if I say it to somebody, in my opinion, that means...
it's not perfect.
Yeah.
And so when Krishna says, what's the deal when Krishna says that, right? No. Okay. Yeah, if I say in my opinion, well, who cares? You know, my opinion, your opinion, yata mat tatapa, you know, as many opinion, mass as many opinions. But when you're, just like here in Canada, you have a Supreme Court. When they give their opinion, it's final, isn't it? The Supreme Court opinion is law, right? In fact, they can take a law passed by the parliament and say, our opinion, this law is no good, and they can throw it out. The Supreme Court opinion is more powerful than parliamentary law, and that's an opinion. So this is your Supreme Court opinion is more, carries more weight than Canadian law. Krishna's opinion carries more weight than your Canadian Supreme Court opinion, you see. His opinion, see, it depends whose opinion you're talking about. My opinion, who cares? Your opinion, who cares? Krishna's opinion is the supreme law. That's the difference, you understand? Yeah. Nice question. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
The other day I was having a meet with one of the saints.
Sadhus. In ISKCON?
No.
Okay, all right.
Somewhere else.
All right.
And the saint or the sadhu made a very good observation, sorry, comment, which I was kind of confused. He said, my mother always regrets that I do not have, she does not have grandsons or granddaughters, but she has granddogs and grandcats. So, yes, I understand that we need to love the entire world, all living entities, but to enhance the world, because after we pass away in a couple of years' time or so, everybody has to die. The world has to run. So we still need to enter into the materialistic worlds also. So how do we make that we maintain the materialistic point of view, but we do the devotional part of it?
Yes, this is described in the Isha Upanishad. We have that book maybe here for sale here, I'm not sure, but it's one of Prabhupada's books.
We have it.
Mantra 11 of the Sri Isha Upanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedo vayam saha avidyayam ratam tirtva vidyayam ratam asnute. Only one who can understand nescience and transcendence side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and attain the full blessings of immortality. So this concept of balancing the material and the spiritual is actually there in the Vedas. It's nothing new. The great sages knew that we have a material body and we also have a spiritual self. Both things are there. And both sides have to be taken care of properly. If you go too far in either direction, you're out of balance. If you only think of your body and you neglect the soul within, then you will be a cat or a dog in your next life. You see, if you just think, if you completely neglect your body and think only about the soul, of course, a very advanced transcendentalist could do that, but we can't do that. We cannot imitate an avadutta, a very advanced transcendentalist who does that. We, at our level, we cannot properly cultivate spiritual life unless we take also proper care of our material self. We have to. We're not qualified to go wandering in the Himalayas and neglecting the material side completely. You see, we can't do it. We knew one boy who tried to do it. He graduated from college. He was here in the U.S. or there in the not here there down there in the U.S. And he decided to go up in the mountains and meditate like a yogi. After he graduated from college, he died very quickly. He wasn't fit for completely neglecting the material side. He killed him. His brother, it was sad. He had used to come to the center there, the Hare Krishna Center. His brother came and told us what happened. He went up into the mountains outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. He took off all his clothes and sat down to meditate like a yogi, and it killed him. He died. Sitting there in a meditation, he died. So we have to have a proper balance. But here's the key. This is, if you look in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 27, you get a very good answer from the Supreme Authority, Krishna. He says, Yad karoshi yadasnasi yajjahosi dadasi yad yattapashyashi kaunteya tat karushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, that includes going to work on Monday morning, you see. Do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. Arjuna did not give up his material side. He was a grihastha. He was not a sannyasi. He didn't quit his job to cultivate spiritual life. He wanted to quit. Krishna said, no, you can't quit your job, Arjuna. You have to do your work, your professional duty as a warrior, but you ought to do it for me. So that's the key. You take care of the material side as a service to Krishna. Just like there's one great sage, a great Paramahamsa, a liberated soul in our Siddhic line. His name was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Maybe you've heard of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was a employee of the British government. And that was not a, you had to be pretty together. He was a magistrate, which is the highest position an Indian could hold in the British government. So he was very, very responsible, professional man. So much so, in fact, he was in charge of the temple in Jagannath Puri. That was only part of his duties. He had many duties, but he was in charge of the Jagannath temple. The Britishers gave him, he was very together materially. He wrote about the proper, how do you see your material side? He said, I'm working to earn I'm working to earn money to maintain Krishna's household. You see the difference? Didn't see his home as his place to enjoy his senses. He saw his home as a place of spiritual cultivation. He saw his own home as an ashram. He created his home as an ashram. And did you hear about one of the sons that came out of his ashram, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? He was a great, powerful guru, came out of that household. So take your material side, keep your body healthy, keep your wife healthy, your kids healthy, earn a good income so you can not be in debt and be financially solvent, but create your home as an ashram, a place of spiritual cultivation where Krishna is the center. You have an altar. Everything is offered on the altar. You have arti. You have kirtan. You read from the scriptures. Instead of watching mundane nonsense television, football games or something, you do kirtan in this way. You like to add something to that? I said enough? All right. Next question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Loud and clear.
Yeah. Maharaj, actually, as you said, we are all families. It's not that my own family is my family. The whole universe, we are all family.
Yeah.
Including animals, plants. When we desire something for them, like bhakti, when we desire for them, as a devotee, we can see that they are in misery, but they cannot understand. So we desire a bhakti for them. But as a individual soul, they have their own karmas. They have their own desires. That's why they came in this world, in material world.
All the living entities.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how, when we pray for them, when we desire bhakti for them, how it's affecting them?
Yeah. If we pray for them, how effective is it? Well, we're automatically, when you chant Hare Krishna, you're automatically praying for them. Because Hare Krishna, the discussing Bhagavad Gita as we're doing now, and the word of Krishna, I just read a sloka a few minutes ago for the lecture. In the first canto, it says the words of Krishna purify the entire universe. So whether you're reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, discussing about Krishna's pastimes, his qualities, his devotees, or you're chanting Hare Krishna, this has a purifying impact on the entire universe. So it's automatic. You don't have to specifically pray for them. And you're already praying for them. Just by talking about Krishna, you're already doing that. But there is a specific prayer. If one wants to pray for them specifically, there is a mantra in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. One specifically prays for all living entities.
Swasti astu.
Swasti astu vishvasha kala prasidatam dayanta bhutani shivang matodaya manascha badrang bhajatam madoksaje aveshitam no matarapya haitaki. Fifth canto, Bhagavatam. May there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. May all envious persons become pacified. May everyone become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, because by engaging in devotional service, everybody will think of everybody else's welfare. Therefore, let everyone engage in the service of the supreme transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of him. This is a prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. So one can specifically pray for them using this prayer. I don't advise concocting your own prayers, because we're not so perfect to know the proper mood for prayer. But if you want to pray for all living entities, you can chant that verse often. But even without chanting that verse, any glorification of Krishna sanctifies the entire universe. So the more, just like especially going out on Harinam Sankirtan, it purifies even the plants. They're also living entities caught up in karma chakra. So the desire to benefit in all living entities is very nice. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. He cannot tolerate to see anybody suffering in this material world. Prahlad Maharaj said, personally, I have no problems. But my problem is to see all these people suffering here in the cycle of birth and death. That is my problem, you see. So we have time for one more. Anything more you want to add to that? We have time for one more question. About 4 minutes left. Okay.
Krishna Maharaj, one question about milk.
Milk?
Milk.
Yeah, the miracle food, yes.
ISKCON is criticized by people who are strict vegans, because they say, you guys drink milk, which is a product of violence. Because
milk is not necessarily a product of violence. It's only a product of violence if one abuses the cow. Milk, by its very nature, if the cows are properly protected, it's not at all a product of violence. Just like we have Krishna conscious farms, and there's no violence there. Milk is not automatically a product of violence. Only when the cow is abusive, farm. And in some cases, We can say in most cases milk is a product of violence, but not necessarily in all cases. To say milk is always a product of violence is fanaticism. It's not true.
They mean to say that whatever milk we buy from the Western farms.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a product of violence. That's what it means.
Yes, there's certain. Yes, that's true. There's one farm that is halfway there. We were in just in Australia, and they let a lot of their animals die naturally. But they do sometimes, if an animal is suffering a disease condition, they may quote put it to sleep, which is not good. But yes, generally the non-devotees, they abuse the animals. There are a few cases, but in 99%, yes, they're very much torturing and abusing the cows. That's a fact. Therefore, we need to have, Prabhupada wanted there should be a Krishna conscious farm connected with every temple, so that every temple would have ahimsa milk. A child needs milk, for example. I see you have a child there. They need milk to develop proper brain tissues. So what do you do if there's no ahimsa milk? That's the question. What did Prabhupada do when there's no ahimsa milk? Do you know? He drank it. He drank the ahimsa milk, which blessed the cows who gave it. So it's not ideal, we admit it. It's not ideal, but Prabhupada clearly states again and again, milk products are required to develop proper brain tissue. So it's a very sad, unfortunate situation. We regretfully buy such milk. But Prabhupada also said we have to offer milk sweets to the deities. So it's not that we're... Here's an analogy. It's called using a thorn to remove a thorn. If you're on Govardhan Parikrama and you forgot you left your tweezers back at the ashram, right? You get a thorn in your foot. Oh, how am I going to get this thorn out? Well, here's another thorn. I'll take it out with the other thorn. So we got a thorn here. It's called himsa milk. Violence milk. It's a thorn. It is a thorn. Violence milk. So how are we going to get it out? Well, we have to have a good grain power. How are we going to take over the world for Prabhupada and establish Krishna conscious form? So we need to drink that violence milk to get rid of that violence milk. You see what I'm saying? Using a thorn to get rid of the thorn. So we regret it. But we need that milk, and those cows are benefiting. The vegans argue, but you're supporting it. We're not really supporting it. We don't endorse it. We're using that, drinking that milk to get sufficient intelligence how to put a stop to these damn slaughterhouses. So that's one way of looking at it. Now, there's some devotees who are very strong advocates and say we must be vegan. And I offer them all respect, and I thank them for pressuring us to establish Krishna-conscious farming communities everywhere. I bow down at the feet of all those devotees who are promoting, saying we must become vegans. I thank them for putting pressure on us to get our act together, to have cow protection communities everywhere, associated with every devotee community. Now, in practical terms, if somebody, some devotees here, some householders do start a cow protection plan, and they have milk for sale, and it's double the price of the milk in the store, pay double the price for the milk. If any devotees do that, support them financially. Even if it's double, triple the price of the milk, support them. We need to move away from these cow slaughter dairies and get cow protection dairies everywhere. So if any householders do it, give them your support financially. Buy their yogurt, buy their cheese, buy their butter, buy their ghee, buy everything from them so they have full financial support to expand their program. We need to be practical here. Our time is over now.
Maharaj, I just wanted to add that there is some violence in the vegan. You know, actually, the plants they cut, there is some violence in there too.
What's it called, the flasica?
No, the vegans, you know, that's like...
What violence do they do?
Whatever they eat, eating plants, that too has some violence in there. You know?
That's a fact. If it's not, the vegans are not offering their vegetables to Krishna, and they're committing violence on the plants.
Yes.
That's a fact. So I'm sorry we can't spend more time, but we have to get ready and prepare for the yajna. And if anyone has any questions, just shoot me an email at sda@backtohome.com. Sankarshan Das Adhikari, sda@backtohome, backtohome.com. And we thank you so much. Hare Krishna.